family, in your life? Amen. Thank you, Gina and Jackson. They got to keep me on a short leash, don't they? Gina and Jackson. Amen. So as I begin here, if I was going to give a title today on this Mother's Day message, would be Mothers Build an Ark. It's going to be called Mothers Build an Ark. But I believe the whole family of God can get something out of this this morning, get something out of this. So mothers need to be celebrated, don't they? President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed May 9th, 1914. It's been a while ago. The first Mother's Day. He asked Americans on that day to give a public thank you to their mothers and all mothers. Just to give you a little history, right? So let me just say that, you know, as we speak this morning, I understand there's a lot of different people here, a lot of different backgrounds, upbringings, right? How they relate to family. So are those who here who have a warm, loving relationship with their mother, and that is to be commended and celebrated. Amen. I'm glad my mom is here, and I have a good relationship with my mom, so very grateful for that. Right, and there are those who have whose mother are no longer alive with us. Right, your mother's gone on to be with the Lord, and that's, you know, you can think about them. You think of your mom and the impact she had on your life, and then there's those who may not or don't have or never did have a loving, healthy relationship with their mothers. There's people like that. There's always that people like that in a crowd or in a people where you have in church, there's going to be people that have had that experience, not so loving, not so healthy of a relationship with their mother. So regarding mothers, I want to speak about mothers in the Bible to every experience, every upbringing, everything relating to a mother in an individual's life, the importance of mothers. I'm going to start with Exodus 2:1. I'm going to read some scripture, so I'm glad you guys have got ears to hear today, right? That you are awake this morning. And so I want to read this scripture before I open up in prayer. And it says, and a man of the house, Exodus 2:1 in the NASB says, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi, Exodus 2:1. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, somebody's getting a call. Mama's getting a call. She hid him 3 months. She hid him 3 months. So, Father, we thank you for today's message. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Well, Lord, we thank you for ears to hear. We thank you for speaking to every heart, every heart. And so we love you, Lord. We thank you for the impact of the Word of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God today. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father, as we draw from your goodness, Lord. We draw from your presence today, Father God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your faithfulness this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're here with us again, Lord. And we acknowledge that. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Exodus 2:1, and bore a son. And so I want to read, so I'm going to go back. I'm actually going to read a good portion of Exodus chapter 1, starting on verse 5. So if you got your Bible, Bill, if you don't have it in the overhead, you'd probably do. Okay, thank you. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading from there. Exodus chapter 1, verse 5, and it says here, and all the people who descended from Jacob were 70 people, but Joseph was already in Egypt, and Joseph died. You guys remember Joseph in the Bible, right? Remember Joseph and his brothers? Remember how he became second in position in power in Egypt? And so, as he became older and he passed away, the children of Israel began to be fruitful and multiply and expand and were blessed. So we're getting more and more Israelites in Egypt, in the land of Egypt. So that's just kind of the context of where we're at. And in verse 5, And so, and all the people who descended from Jacob were 70 people, but Joseph was already in Egypt, and Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them. Verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them. Otherwise, they will multiply, and in the event of war, they will also join those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land." Verse 11, so they appointed taskmasters over them to oppress them with hard labor. And they built for Pharaoh storage cities in Pithom and Ramses. But the more they oppressed the Israelites, the more they multiplied and the more they spread out, so that they dreaded the sons of Israel. Verse 13, the Egyptians used violence to compel the sons of Israel to labor, and they made their lives bitter and hard labor and mortar and bricks and all kinds of labor in the field, all their labors which they violently had them perform as slaves. 15, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other whose name was Puah, and she said, "When you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." Verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing? And let the boys live." The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives can come get them." They were willing to lie there. I think God was okay with that. What do you think? So God was good to the midwives. Listen to this. This is not where we're going to camp at all, but listen to this. This is an awesome scripture. Verse 20 says, so God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. And because the midwives feared God, he established households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to throw into the Nile, but every daughter you are to keep alive. How could you imagine the context and put yourself in that situation? We read those things, but could you imagine that during this time where the Israelites were fruitful, multiplying, and God's hand was upon them, that the Egyptians, the world, became afraid of them? And basically, because Egypt can also today be a representation of the world or the spirit of the world. And so they became fearful of them as they were blessed. And so Pharaoh says, hey, I want to, you need to kill every male child born. But every female child, every little girl you let live, but every male child you shall kill. Because we got to stop this explosion of the expansion of the Israelites as their population was exploding, expanding. So we got to stop that. So what we were at right here was that the Egyptians had put the word down, every male child shall be killed. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine being pregnant at that time? As an Israelite woman, you're thinking, man, you're praying, then you're like, Lord, let me have a girl. Let me have a girl. You realize you're during pregnancy that you can't be joyful and at peace and at rest, because you know that as soon as that baby is born, there's an enemy trying to kill that baby. Trying to kill that baby. And so this is where we come to that Exodus. Let me read Exodus 2:1 again as we get rolling. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. So you can imagine she was hiding him and trying to keep him quiet and comfort him and nurse him and keep him, you know, really not knowing what's going to be the end game of this, trying to hide her son. Could you imagine the fear and the torment in her heart? Hebrews 11:23 in the Amplified talks about this particular verse or this story right here, this account. It says, by faith, Moses, after his birth, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. because they saw that he was a beautiful and a divinely favored child, and they were not afraid of the king's decree. Wow. Moses, divinely favored. You know, every child is divinely favored. Did you know that? Yeah. Every child born is divinely favored. If you have children today, no matter where they are, no matter what's going on, do you know that they're divinely favored? If you know the Lord, if you're born again, you better believe that your children are divinely favored. I don't know about you, but I believe that with all my heart for my children and my grandchildren. Did you remember that song we just sang? To a thousand generations, singing the blessing of God upon your family. Every child is divinely favored. Verse 3, I want to continue. It says, but when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark. That's what it says, took an ark. Took an ark and of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. You know, Moses' mom, she makes it her priority to take care of Moses, doesn't she? To take care of Moses. Or she makes it her priority. It could cost her life if she's caught, but she says, I'm going to take care of Moses. She makes the ark of bulrush to put her son in. Bulwark means building this fortress to protect her son from the waters, from the elements. The ark meaning safety. The ark is safety. So she made this, like it calls it, an ark, a bulwark. So she might have used branches. She might have used wood. Who knows what she used? It might have been crudely made. I don't know. But she made it to where it would float. And it's interesting that in some of the Bible would call that an ark. An ark. Let me continue a little bit here. It's in, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down and to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maids to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. She saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children, right? She wept, says, you know, number one, because of the heart of a mother building an ark for Moses' safety. She making this bulwark of safety, amen? When Pharaoh's daughter opened the ark, she said, kill this baby. No, I mean, that was the decree. That's what she should have said is, hey, there's one of those Hebrew children. Just go ahead and dump it out, throw it in the water, do whatever they were doing with the babies at this time in Egypt. But she saw this bulwark of protection, didn't realize being built by Moses' mother. And then she had compassion on this Hebrew child. And she knew it was a Hebrew child, by the way. Compassion on Moses. The Bible says she had compassion on Moses in this ark. You know, Noah built an ark in it, and it preserved mankind. Remember that? In the book of Genesis, an ark that was made out of wood and pitch as well. Made out of similar materials. So we know Noah built an ark and preserved mankind. See, an ark carries and preserves. Let me just say this. We're going to keep rolling here. An ark carries and preserves the purpose of God. When Pharaoh's daughter looked into the ark, she didn't even realize it, but she was looking at the purpose of God for the Israelites. God used the enemy to bless Moses. And it started a little bitty thing called an ark. Not an ark like we for Noah, but it called an ark of safety where that baby Moses was. Isn't that amazing? Let me continue. Then verse 7, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter. She saw this. She's watching this baby. She's watching to see where this little ark, this little bulwark is floating, where it's going to go. They don't know where it's going to go. Can you imagine? She just says, I've got to get my son out of Egypt. So I'm building an ark here. I'm putting him in the water. I don't know where this is going to take him. She wasn't certain it was going to take him to safety or life. For all we know, it could be a few hours, and this ark that was built could begin to sink, to take in water, for all we know. But Moses' sister had his back, didn't she? Verse 7, then his sister, who is, anybody remember Moses' sister's name? Miriam, just so make sure you're out there. Miriam, remember Miriam? Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" Moses' sister had his back. Nothing like a sister, some of you women can say this, who has your back, who has your best interest in mind, who watches your well-being. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just in the natural, but a sister in the Lord. In some cases for you, ladies, it might only be a sister in the Lord that has your back, depending on your background. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this. Say, okay, you ready? We're going to know love by this. You ready? That he laid down his life for us. Who's he, Jesus? And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. For the brothers and sisters. So that Miriam had his, she's watching this as Moses is floating down the Nile River, right? Not knowing what's going to happen to him. And then she, can you imagine, she sees these Egyptian women, whether she knew that was Pharaoh's daughter or not, she sees these Egyptian women bathing, and they come across this, and they take this little ark, this little bulwark, and open it up, and you could imagine she's holding her breath saying, "Well, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen to little Moses? What's going to happen to this baby?" And to her delight, this Egyptian basically, princess has compassion on Moses, and she runs up and says, "Oh, I just happened to see you here. Just happened to see what happened here. Do you want me to go get somebody who can nurse Moses, who ends up being Moses' mother?" Can you believe that? God's providence, God's protection, all from starting from building this little ark to put little Moses in. Not knowing what's going to happen, putting him in that water and probably saying a prayer, amen. After all, these are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, amen. These are children of a covenant. So you can imagine she's praying for Moses' safety, amen and amen. Let me continue on a little bit in this wonderful story. And Pharaoh's verse 8, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So she pays her to take care of her son. Man, that's a blessing to God all over that, amen? Only God could work that out. Not only are you going to take care of a child that is supposed to be killed, supposed to be murdered, supposed to be dead, I'm going to pay you to take care of him. Wow. The God of the impossible. Starting out by faith, by building this little boat, this little ark out of wood. Could have been crude. Pitch. Putting him in the water. Could you imagine that? You know, so Moses' mother nursed and cared for Moses, but had to give him up. Here's the other thing. Let me read verse 10, though. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." So who named Moses? Pharaoh's daughter. So Moses' mama, can I say mama and Chino here, said the mother? Moses' mama didn't even get to name him. Maybe you think about it real quick as we continue to move on through this. Maybe she had another name from the family lineage that she wanted to name him. Maybe she had some dreams for Moses. But here it is. Moses is really the enemy. The Egyptians get to name him. And on top of that, the Egyptians are going to raise Moses. Could you imagine? So you wonder the pain. So Moses' mother nursed and cared for Moses, but had to give him to another woman to raise. I read this and wonder the pain that Moses' mom must have felt in having to give up her son to be raised by Israel's enemy. It was the circumstance Israel had to live with. It was the circumstances she couldn't do anything about. She had to give her son over to be raised. Sometimes circumstances we cannot control, or maybe circumstances mothers of our own making are not our own making. Moms don't get to raise a child, listen to me, exactly like they could have or should have. Didn't have that opportunity. But let me continue on that. You know, that things didn't go the way maybe they should have. Anybody here that's ever raised children here knows that things don't go, there's no textbook of how to make things go perfectly. Things can go, there can go awry. There can be struggles. There can be great pain. There can be great pain. And right here, Moses' mother is finding out that Moses' mom understands a pain that only a mother can understand. You know, there's pains with having children, giving birth to children that only a mother can understand. I'm a father. I love my children. But I just know because of carrying a child, giving birth to a child, that there's certain things that only a mother feels. I believe that. Flesh of their flesh, bone of their bone. The father loves them, but there's this connection of carrying that baby, being a part of her that only a mother could know. So this situation here. Moses' mom understood a pain that only a mother could understand. She nurses the child, she weans the child, and then she gives him up to an Egyptian to raise. Wow. But she built this ark. I'm going to get there real quick. She had built him this ark. And let me tell you, for every mother and father here, let me tell you, mothers, regardless of where a child might be in their lives, right now, you can build an ark. A bulwark of prayer and supplication to protect this child. I'm telling you, that's exactly. She had built that ark. But I guarantee you, she sent that off with prayer. Lord, it's in your hands now. With family members, children, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, parents, whatever it is, sometimes it's like you've that bulwark, that little boat or whatever is in the water, and you feel like it's gone. There's nothing I can do about it now. Maybe Egypt has a child. You know what Egypt in the world? Maybe Egypt has a child right now, but I promise you this, that through the power of prayer, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can build an ark for your child in Jesus' name. What could she do? There was nothing she could do. Moses' mom, but she built this ark, and let me tell you, mothers, that regardless where a child might be in their lives right now, you can build an ark, a bulwark of prayer and supplication to protect that child. Amen. Protect that child. Do not underestimate prayer and tears and supplication for that child. No, you are surely building an ark to preserve that child in the world. Egypt. You know, it was 79 years approximately, about 79 years. If 1 or 2 years, however long they nursed the baby then and weaned it. So let's just say a year, right? It was 79 years before that child shows any evidence that the ark she had built for him did a lick of good. This story in scriptures is for many today. Moses' mom could do nothing but pray for 79 years. Could you imagine that? I remember, so he goes and he's raised by the Egyptians, right? Probably doesn't have much interaction with his mom, I'm assuming. Not like she would want. I mean, he's being raised by, Moses is being raised by an Egyptian, so the mom is praying for him. And then after 40 years, he's in trouble for murdering a man. So now he's wanted for murder. And then he takes off for 40 more years where nobody in Israel hears from him. Not a peep. That little boy that she put in that ark that she sent off. It looked like it was for no good. But 79 years later, who shows up on the scene again? Moses. And even if you continue on, it took many, many years, but Moses ends up having a relationship with Miriam, his sister, who is known as a prophet, prophetess. And then he has a relation with his brother named Aaron, who becomes the very first priest in the lineage of Israel, the Levites. Isn't that amazing? This bulwark, I'm telling you, a bulwark of prayer and supplication and not giving up faith, not giving up hope. You have no idea what God can do when you continue to believe and hold up those that you love in prayer and supplication. I'm telling you, we don't know how many years it will take, but God will answer. God will answer. This ark means safety, right? I remember when I was a young man in my teens, I had a good friend who really did not have a mother to speak of. And we attended the same church together. I remember on Mother's Day that the pastor would talk about his mother and his truly amazing family. And that's awesome. That's the way it is designed and should be. Amen. So the following years, my friend, he wouldn't come to church on Mother's Day. He would dip out, as they would say today. And that really impacted me when I was thinking about that. At that time, I thought about my friend, and I would say to myself, my poor buddy. Poor buddy. I'll just use the name Fred, but poor Fred. Man, he doesn't have this family. I would think this is his lot in life. He's underprivileged. He's less than in a way, and you just can't blame him for his struggles in life. I remember this is what I used to think then. If only he would have had a mom like our pastor, he could excel in life and become anything he wanted to be. And then through the years, I lost track of that friend. He moved away, and eventually I believe he became disheartened with ever being healed from that wound he carried from his upbringing. His missing Mother's Day church services became a disillusionment that the church could ever help him. I remember thinking back then that a Mother's Day church service, this is one thing I never forgot, never dreamt I would be a pastor. But I remember thinking this back when I was like 18 years of age, long time ago. I remember thinking back then that a Mother's Day church service couldn't be focused only on mothers in the natural. Many people in the family of God have mothers and brothers and sisters in the faith that mean more to them than a natural mother. I had no inkling or understanding of mothers in the faith. You know, if I'd understood there, it's nobody's promise, nobody else's problem, but I didn't realize that the power of familyhood in the church of God. I didn't realize that there was those there, mothers and the dear mothers and grandmothers in the faith that could have been a blessing to him. But yet he chose to focus on the fact that he somehow was less than or underprivileged because he didn't have this so-called family that he could hold up and compare to a leader or whoever. But you know what? With the family of God, I'm telling you, there is no disadvantage in the family of God. There is no disadvantage, I'm telling you. With the power of God, the Spirit of God working in your life, God healing things in your life, growing you in Him, people building an ark through you through encouragement and prayer and faith, speaking into your life, building an ark for you to become exactly what God wants you to be. Matter of fact, it says that it's not those that are wise or those that are strong in the world's standards that are called. Amen? It's many times it's the less than, the so-called underprivileged that God raises up for His glory. I'm telling you, with the family of God, with the Spirit of God, people are not less than anybody if they understand bodyhood. I like what Matthew 12, 46 through 50 said while he was still talking to the multitudes. This is Jesus. Behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you, Jesus." And it's not that he had anything against his brothers or his mother, but it's the point of what bodyhood means today. Let's continue, verse 48. But he answered, Jesus answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" This is what Jesus said. And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Wow. Isn't that amazing? Let me just say this with fathers and religion will try to make you line up, act like, you know, act a certain way. Fathers of the faith, they look to encourage. They look to strengthen. They bring alongside. They help mentor. They want what's best for them. See, without fathers and mothers in the faith, the church has no strength. It goes back to just a bunch of rules and regulations and perform the best you can. Fathers in the faith. See, there's really two families. There's the family of God, and there's the family of the world and Satan. Remember what Jesus said, you listen to your father, talking about Satan, he says that he's the father of lies. Two families in the world. Isn't that great? There's two families. That sounds harsh, but it's biblical. There's the family of God, and there's the family of the world and Satan. I don't know about you, but it's been the family of God that's helped me to become everything that God has wanted me to be so far and looking for more in my young age. It's the family of God. The family, fathers in the faith, they look to encourage. Mothers in the faith looking to encourage other girls and women in like faith. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the faith encouraging one another. Jesus, could you imagine Jesus sitting there and they said, "Hey, your mom and brothers are outside." And he says, "My mother and my brothers," and then looking at his disciples, and "Here's my brothers, here's my sisters. Here's my mother's." What is he talking about? He's simply talking about how valuable, how awesome, how powerful is the family of God. You know, the thing is building an ark for one another. For your children, prayer, supplication. God sees those tears. Amen. Regardless of where they're at, I believe prayer. I'd know prayer protects people. Prayer protects children. Prayer protects grandchildren. And you can say, "Yeah, but when am I going to see it turn around?" I don't know. For Moses, she didn't see him for 79 years. 79 years. And 40 of it, he's gone. They're looking for him. He's a murderer. They got the most wanted in the post office with Moses' picture on it. Could you imagine if she's thinking, "Man, this ark I built for him, what did it do me good? What good did it do me? Now he's in the post office with his picture. Wanted." Let me see, these are practical things as we move on. Are you still with me? Yes. Hallelujah. You still there? So how does this start? How does it look like? Well, in church, it means to be willing to greet someone you don't know with a kind word. Don't smother them. Don't try to hug someone who doesn't want a hug. But a kind smile and gesture is where it starts. Did you know that? It's just having wisdom. Some people, you can hug or whatever. Some people, you can see it. No touchy. No touchy. Honor the no touchy. You know, a word of encouragement can set a heart on a new path. Did you know that? I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, there'll be people saying, "Hey, I'm here because of you." And you're like, "Me? I don't even remember you." Well, you would then, hot heaven. You said an encouraging thing to me in the grocery store. you said an encouraging thing here or there or briefly one time, and it changed the direction of my life. You didn't see me come to the Lord later on. You didn't see what happened later on, but you kept me from taking my life. You kept me from moving a direction that I was going to move that would took me way off track, that one word of encouragement. It always starts with encouragement. I like that Proverbs 25:11. It says this, like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken at the proper time. Man, a word spoken to somebody at the proper time is more valuable than gold or silver. I said it's more valuable than gold or silver. Never underestimate the willingness to encourage somebody. See, Jesus, he cares for families. He loves families. I love what Jesus, even while he hung on the cross, he was thinking of his mama. John 19:25-27 says this. John 19:25-27 says this. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that's John, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus, thinking about family, even while he carried the weight of sin on him. You know, all that Jesus has gone through, I just want one scripture here. What he had gone through. We know that he took those stripes. So Isaiah 50:6 says this, "I gave my back to those who strike me." This is talking about Jesus. "I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from insults and spitting." So you can imagine everything that he had gone through. Taking the stripes on his back, the thorns around his head, right? The crown of thorns. The pulling and beating him, the pulling out of his beard. And still, in that situation, he's saying to John, "Hey, take care of my mama. Take care of my mother." Jesus loves family. Let me just go real quick. We have these different arcs, okay? The Ark of Noah. Remember the Ark of Noah? Mankind was preserved. Amen? That mankind was preserved. Everybody agree with that? The Ark of Moses preserved the Israelites. And that I'm talking about the little ark that says in the Bible that his mother made for him and put him into the water, into the Nile. The Ark of Moses. How about the Ark of the Covenant? Preserved the Ten Commandments, the Rod of Aaron, the Jar of Manna. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? And then it says, and then we have the Ark of the Believer, you and I, housing the presence of God. Ephesians 1:13-14. "In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise." Who is a first installment of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. In the book of Ezekiel and also in the book of Hebrews, it says that he put his laws in our hearts and our mind. His spirit lives within us. That first ark was that Noah made. It was made out of wood, right, and pitch. Man-made material, right? That ark of Moses that his mother had made out of wood or pitch. Or branches, whatever she used. She preserved Moses' life. The Ark of the Covenant made out of wood and inlaid gold, right? Those materials, they took gold. It has to be refined. But where do you find gold? You can find it in the ground. You can mine it, right? And then you and I, the Spirit of God living in you and I. Remember how he made Adam out of dirt and breathed in him life? You and I, a type of ark. Carrying the presence of God, carrying the love of God, carrying the truth of God within you. Did you know that? You're a type of ark. His presence lives in you. It doesn't live in the Holy of Holies now. It lives in individual believers who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You are a type of ark. Amen. And then the final ark. So we have the Noah, the mankind that preserved mankind. The Ark of Moses that preserved the Israelites. The Ark of Covenant preserved the law of God. The Ark of the believer, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been sealed. You've been preserved till God, until Jesus comes again, or you're passed away and you're in his presence, right? God is preserving you right now by his Holy Spirit. He better be. He is. And then the final ark, preserving the kingdom of God. Let me just read this, Revelation 11, 18 and 19. Revelations 11, 18 and 19. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Verse 19, and the temple of God which is in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared and in his temple. And there was flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. Could you imagine that? The ark of covenant in heaven, preserving the people of God, the kingdom of God, the truths of God forever and ever, forever and ever. Forever and ever. Protection and housing. The presence of God. Thankfulness and prayer. Today an ark might mean being thankful for your mother who raised you and the love of God. Aren't you glad? Amen. Share that with other people. The love of God heals a heart. Today an ark might mean, Lord, I forgive a mom, or maybe even a dad who did not raise me in the love of God. Maybe there is a lot of pain or disappointment there. Choose to forgive. Amen. Choose to forgive. Pursue healthy, godly relationship with other believers. It brings healing in your life. It brings healing. Amen. It brings healing in your life. Choose to forgive and then become an ark of salvation, so to speak, to other individuals, other people, with your kindness, with your prayers, with your supplications, with the word of God. Today you might, as the worship team comes, Gene and the worship team, aren't you glad that we can choose to forgive? Amen. Did you know that you could, with the love of God, you can, doesn't mean you allow people to continue to walk on you or abuse, but it means, Lord, I choose to forgive. I always think of the story. I'm sorry to bring it up sometime, but it was so impactful. This Iranian young woman, Iran, and you know, and they don't hold much of that because of the religion, I think. But a lot of women aren't held in high standard at all. And so this gal had a life where her dad had given her over to be used by other men, forced her into that. And I just can't, it's just amazing when she gave her life to Christ, how she was able to say, man, I forgive my dad. I forgive those men. But she says, nobody will ever touch me again. The power of God in her life to forgive. You see, sometimes forgiving others starts, you start building an ark that you can, a safety for yourself. Amen? Of truth. Of power, of anointing. You know, today you might be here and you might be away from the love of God. You feel like there is this wall between God and yourself. You want to restore fellowship with him. I want you to come forward this morning. We dismiss. I'd love to pray with you. There'll be some people up here that will pray with you and just say, Lord, I just want to restore my fellowship. Man, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. So on your part, say, Lord, I'm coming back home. I always want to give that opportunity that people say, man, I need someone to pray with me. Or you might be here, you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ before. Man, we would love to pray for you, to introduce you to Jesus. accept him as your personal Savior, have your sins washed away, amen, and have his Holy Spirit come live in you. See, to have permanent safety, you got to have an ark. And that ark is Jesus Christ and him crucified on wood for you and my sin, that we might live with him forever. Do you love him this morning? Can you stand up with me? Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We praise you. Aren't you glad for mothers? Aren't you glad for mothers in the faith? Man, they're comforting. They're a blessing in our lives. So it doesn't matter what the background is. God has made a way for us, amen, and an ark of worship, an ark of prayer and supplication for others, amen, blessing your children, your family, amen, like Moses, not sure what happens, but in the future, could you imagine 79 years later, Moses showing up and say, here I am, all started with that little bitty ark, that bulwark of wood and tar. Father, we bless you. We honor you today. Can you thank him for his goodness today? We thank you for your love today. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your strength in our lives, Lord. We thank you for a blessed Mother's Day. A blessed Mother's Day. Regardless of the past, we thank you for a blessed Mother's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Do you love him today? Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We honor you today. If you need prayer, please come up.